Okay, as I'm speaking about blessing this morning, I've spoken about blessing before, but just want to speak about it in a different light today. But we all like to be blessed, don't we? But to be blessed, you know, something has to take place, doesn't it? Something in our own lives, you know, we have to do something, ask of something, and in all of being blessed, you know, it requires effort, doesn't it? We have to do something to receive. And so today I want to speak about, you know, what is required to receive a blessing. And we all like being blessed, don't we? Everyone enjoys that. And I'm sure many of you can relate many stories about being blessed. And then about the times that God has brought a blessing into your life through some kind deed or a thought or things like that. You know, someone's prayed and it's been a real time and answer, and it's really time when God met a need in your life. And so through that, you know, you've been able to experience a real blessing. And we all believe that we serve a miracle God, don't we? Amen? And we see that all the time. You know, we've seen God's mighty hand at work in many, many ways. Undertaking for needs and bring about healing, providing finance and answering prayer in so many wonderful ways. And, you know, if I was to ask, I'm sure every one of you people would be able to get up and say, yeah, I've been blessed at some stage in my life. Back then, God done that. Even last week, God done something. And I'm sure that's relevant today. But what we just have to see, that God's arm is not that short, you know, that he can't touch us. And he's not that far away that he can't hear us. And God is only a prayer away, amen? And so we just have to keep that in mind. And but God knows our hearts, he knows our needs, and what's more, God is just wanting to reach out for us to reach out and to touch him, to communicate with him and say, yes, God, I need your help, I need you in my life, and I want you to bless me. And if we maybe have that that PowerPoint, thanks, Matthew. Is it behind there? Yeah. So this morning there, a couple of verses of scripture there. Matthew 6:37. It's about the Lord's promise to us. And it says there, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what? All say it together. Amen. That's a powerful promise, isn't it? And there, but if we look... I think I've got Matthew 7. I think it should be 37, is it? Or 40-something. Anyway, it's in Matthew chapter 7. Yeah, it's Luke. Matthew 7:7. We're right. Yeah, but there's three requirements, and I was so blessed even this morning where Elder Gary mentioned about asking. And then Kayleen, our worship leader, when that powerful word came upon her, she met again about asking and seeking. So, you know, God's, we're in unison. You know, God is, the Spirit of God is amongst us and working in a wonderful way. But that scripture says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. So there's three basic requirements there that we ask. And if we ask, God will give, amen. And if we seek, if we look for God, if we want God in our lives, we have to seek him out, find out where he is. But most of all, more importantly, says when we knock, if we knock, the door will be open. The highway to heaven will be open. The highway to eternity will be open to us in such a wonderful ways. But there we just see that those three requirements, asking us to do something. There it says, ask and it will be given unto you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. If we want Jesus Christ in our life, well, you know, we have to ask, Lord, come into my life. And we have to seek him out and to find him. And as the Lord opens, when we knock and say, Lord, I want you into my life, I invite you in. You know, Christ will open the door. Jesus will open the door for us and be a part of his eternal kingdom. Sandia. So we just see that there. But that's the requirement. Effort is demanded, isn't it? It says that many, many times in Scripture. We have to exercise our actions, our thoughts, our prayers, all that type of thing. If we want something to happen, you know, well, something in us has got to transpire and we have to do something. And as we do that, it will be given unto us. But and he's there because God wants so much for us in our lives. And his word tells us that he will fill the desires of your heart. And that's a powerful promise, isn't it? You know, of what God will do. Psalm 20, verse 4, says that. It says there, may he give you the desires of your heart and make your plans succeed. God wants success in your life. He wants us to succeed at everything we do because all the plans, these plans and purposes that he's laid out for us, he wants them to outwork in our life. And as they outwork, you're going to be blessed in every way. Amen? And so there, you know, that's the very thing that God wants for us. As his people, he wants to bless our life. He wants to see us succeed. He wants to see the plans, our desires, our thoughts, all these things come and happen in our life. And what I want to share mainly this morning is in Psalm 37. You have your Bibles there and you'd like to open them there. Psalm 37. In Psalm 37, it's just a powerful passage of scripture in Psalm 37. It speaks a lot there about, you know, how the wicked prosper and how the righteous will succeed, but not going into that at all today. I just want to concentrate on three verses in Psalm 37 where it says the verses are 3, 4 and 5. I'll find it. It's a new Bible and the pages are sticking together. I don't want to lick my finger and flick them over. Okay, right. In verse 3, 4, and 5, it says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. And verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you what? The desires of your heart. And verse 5 says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. Amen? So three powerful verses there again about the things. That these are the requirements there. This trust in the Lord there, and asking God. The instruction is here is with what effort is required for blessing to come upon us. Those three things about trusting, delighting and committing ourselves into the things of God. But here in this passage of Scripture, it's a lot about godly wisdom. But to acquire blessing from it, from the Word, from God, it requires that action, doesn't it? It's an effort demanded, an effort required. And in Luke chapter 12, verse 48, and it speaks there about accountability a bit there. But in Luke 12, verse 48, Where am I? Okay, just read the last part of that passage of scripture from Luke chapter 10, verse 49. It is, yeah. Okay, and it says here, from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And so there, the principle is upheld through scripture, you know, because God has given us so much, hasn't he? He's filled our lives with so much. God requires us to, you know, there's much required on our life. God wants us to reproduce ourselves, amen, and to reproduce everything that he's given, because God's invested a lot in us, and God wants us to use that investment to prosper and to expand the gospel and the kingdom of God wherever we go. And again, run ahead of myself there, from whom much is given, you know, much is required. It's about that requirement. But what God requires of us, first of all, is we do what His Word His Word tells us to do, what the Word of God ask of us. And if we look at in Deuteronomy, particularly there in chapter 10, in verse 12 and 13 there. Okay. The requirement here in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12, it's about fear. It says here, fear the Lord. That's a basic requirement, that we have this reverential fear of the Lord and His ways. And it's speaking here to Israel, but it's for us today, isn't it? This word is for us today. And it says here, and now, Israel, what does the Lord ask of you? What does the Lord ask of you? What does the Lord require you? That's the question, isn't it? But the answer comes there, and it says here, what does the Lord your God ask of you? And it says, number one, to fear the Lord your God. Secondly, to walk in all His ways. Thirdly, to love Him. Fourthly, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And verse 13 says, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I'm giving you today for your own good. Amen. So there's five powerful things, you know, five requirements for us, you know, this effort that is demanded of us, you know, how we can uphold the Lord's way, how we can uphold our Lord, our God, our mighty God. And it says, you know, what does the Lord ask of you? He asks you to fear Him in the way that He is honouring to Him. Secondly, how we're to walk in His ways. Walk in His ways. What does Scripture say? You know the way, what? Walk in it. Walk in it. A simple, basic requirement to love Him. That should be easy for us, isn't it? Should be easy because of what He's done for us. To serve your God with all your heart and soul. Another simple thing. And it says, and to observe the Lord's commands and the decrees that I'm giving you this day for your own good. Why did the Lord say this? Why did He say? Because it's what? What's that last part of the script, verse there? Because it's for your what? Own good. It's for our good. And that's all throughout Scripture, isn't it? But they're basic requirements, you know. The Lord doesn't burden us with anything that we can't carry. The Lord will never weigh us down with a burden. He said, you know, He'll make our load light. He'll give your burden, your cares to me. I'll make your load light. And so there are those things. But also a passage of Scripture in Micah in chapter 6 and verse 8, it says sort of something similar there. And there in Micah it says, he has showed you, O man, what is good. Who's experienced the goodness of God? Hands up everywhere, yeah. Because, you know, God has blessed us so richly, so mightily. He's given us a life that we can live in abundance, and we have that promise of and hope of eternal life and just living and enjoying the presence of God. He has shown you, O man, what is good. That's the statement, you know, that we've been shown the goodness of the Lord. But the question also is asked, and what does the Lord require of you? I think, Kayleen, you said that in your word, didn't you, this morning? I think you did. You mentioned that too. What does the Lord require of you? So that's a questionnaire, isn't it? And now the instruction or the requirement comes. And all that is asked of us is that we follow these statutes. And it says in the scripture there, to act justly, to love mercifully, and to walk humbly with our Lord. Amen? Three just simple basic things. They're not burdensome. They're not heavy. They're not hard, are they? We should be able to carry those three things out, to act justly, to do good, you know, to respect, love, honour, all those sorts of things. Love, mercy, be compassionate to others. Think of our neighbour as ourselves, the scripture says. And it's above all, to walk humbly with our God, not to be proud and boastful. I can do this, I can do that. We're humble. God loves a contrite heart, contrite spirit. It should be easy to act justly, to love, be compassionate, and to walk humbly. They're just three basic things, aren't they? But that's the kind of obedience God expects from us. He demands from us, you know, those three things, you know. But God wants us to also to be sincere in doing things. And as we obey him, you know, God is going to pour out his spirit upon us in such a wonderful way, because our obedience, you know, we're doing all those things. We're walking in his ways. And because, you know, God will do that, because if we upheld this requirement or heeded that action or whatever we've done there, you know, God's going to work in our lives and bless us. A saying you've probably heard many, many times before, nothing in, nothing out, is there, you know? If there's no input, well, there's nothing comes out. You know, that's about, we've got to give back to God. We've got to honour God. We've got to bless God. We've got to praise him, worship him. And as we do that, you know, we get back. God gives back into our lives and blesses us in so many ways. So that's what I'm saying, baby, how demand, effort is demanded. If we make that effort, we might just give the Lord that time. You know, God will give back into us in such a powerful way. And so here, in Psalms 37, you know, it gives us that basic requirement, that necessary requirement to be a blessing, or be a part of the blessing and the benevolence of God, you know. We just have to make an effort. And again, if you'd like to put up that other PowerPoint there, again, those three primary requisites. No, one before. trust in the Lord there. Yeah, but again, it says, delight yourself in the Lord. And thirdly, commit your way to the Lord. Not very hard things, things that we should really enjoy and be a part of. Trust in the Lord, you know. That's our foundation, isn't it? You know, it's about faith, about hope. It's about belief, just trusting in the things of God. And we do that every day. Every day we get up and we wake and walk and do the things that the Lord created us to do. But it's about trusting in God for all the blessings that you want to come your way, for your plans to succeed, all that type of thing. that above all delights yourself in the Lord. Be happy in the Lord, amen? Be happy in his service, but to delight in yourself in the Lord because of what the Lord has done for you, because of that. And thirdly, really, really important thing, commit your way to the Lord. It's not a half-hearted thing, is it? You know, we can't have the Lord today and forget him tomorrow sort of thing. It's an ongoing thing. It never stops. And so there, we really have to commit. And we know commit is a big word. We commit to many things. Every day we're committed to this, we're committed to that. And probably one of the things we really speak about a lot of commitment is in marriage, isn't it? You know, it takes a big commitment in that way. But run ahead of myself again. But trust in the Lord and do good. As it says there, delight yourself in the Lord and commit your ways to him. As it says in that scripture, trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and what? Enjoy safe pasture. I don't know about you, but I want to dwell in the land and enjoy God's presence. I want to be in a good paddock, so to speak, to be in a good place where I can be at peace with myself. I can be peace with my brothers and sisters, all you people, all that thing. But most of all, that I can enjoy the safety of God in my life. And, you know, and things will go well when that happens, when that takes place there. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will what? He will give you the desires of your heart. Amen? God wants us to delight in his presence, to enjoy his goodness and to receive whatever he brings our way. And God, you know, God doesn't want any of us to be struggling through the issues of life. Amen? Because, you know, we can get so bogged down and weighted down. But God just wants us to enjoy the freedom that Jesus died for. You know, Christ died for. He paid that sacrificial gift, you know, and died for us, you know, that we'd have that freedom, that we would enjoy his presence, that we would delight in his ways. And there, and again, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. What a powerful promise again. Powerful promise. And yet, so often we neglect, don't we? So often we neglect to commit. To really commit ourselves to the things of God, to his service, the things that he set us aside for to do. But where I said, I run ahead of myself therefore, but as I said, marriage is a prime example of it, isn't it? You know, of what commitment means. It takes a lot of effort, doesn't it? From both sides, from husband and wife, for a marriage to work well. But, you know, we have to work very hard of it. Effort is required, isn't it? Effort is demanded from both sides. And then that way, and as we know, even in raising our children, it takes a lot of guidance and example and showing them, you know, the God's ways. But most of all, you know, there has to be that deep commitment behind everything we do, doesn't it? But Psalm 37 there, it also asks there, who will inherit the land? Who will inherit the land? Who is going to live in the live to enjoy the blessing of the promised land? The question it asks, will the wicked prosper? Will the wicked prosper and gain something of which they didn't deserve? But I like this part. It asks the question again. It also asks, will the righteous prosper? What's your answer to that?
Amen.
Amen. Yes, the righteous will prosper. Why? Because verse 11 there, you read it there and it says, those who are gentle and lowly will possess the land. That means verse 11 there. We're the righteous, aren't we? The righteous will prosper. And take that to heart today, that at the end of the day, we will inherit the kingdom of God in that way that we have the promise and we will be eternity with the Lord. Amen. And So that's a wonderful thing. But you know, we're God's people, and God sees us in a wonderful way. Amen. And the way God sees us, He sees us as His people. That when we're trusting in Him, He sees us as a humble people. He sees us as a blameless people. He sees us as a generous people. He sees us as an upright and a peaceable people. That's wonderful, isn't it? I think that's pretty good. You know, that God sees us that way. You know, we may not always be that sort of people, but that's how God sees us. And when we walk in His way, trust in Him, delight in Him, and commit ourselves to Him, all these things are at work. They're the characteristics of our makeup, of our Christian faith, of God in our lives. Five very important things: being humble, blameless, generous, that we are upright, we walk in God's way, and above all, we are a peaceable people. We don't want to be at there. So as I said, I think that's pretty good. The righteous will prosper, and the righteous will inherit all God has for us. And above all, we will be blessed. Amen? And I think that's pretty powerful. But just again, I encourage you. And I was so gladdened myself, you know, in my own spirit, to be just able to prepare a message and to just see, you know, how God works in our lives, and how God wants us to work and to respond to Him in such a way. But just share a little bit this morning. As Pastor Chris said, today you may have noticed the caravan and vehicle in the caravan park taking up three or four car spots. Yeah, sorry about that, But that caravan, that's going to be our home while we're away, and doing the ministry that we're going to be embarking upon. And as I've been speaking about effort and requirement, and about doing something, about putting it into place, and so for this to happen, many things have had to happen and for all this to come apart. And it has to be done God's way, amen? So thankfully we've been able to honour the Lord in that way. And God has so bountifully and graciously just opened the doors and made the way possible that we're able to purchase the vehicle and the caravan, that we are able to go out and to do this ministry. And this ministry is a part of giving back to God, you know. We know when a farmer plants seed, he reaps a harvest, and he puts away part of that harvest and he sows it again. It's about reproducing. And as I said early in that scripture, to whom much is given, much is required. Probably the whole crux of my message this morning. And that applies to each and every one of us. We've been given so much, but we need to give it back out. The message of the good news that Jesus Christ lived, it's got to go out. But we are going out as missionaries in that sense and preaching the word. But ours, hopefully, will really develop into an encouraging type ministry, something that was laid on our hearts many years ago and the seed was sown. We just want that to reproduce and to touch other people's life. But it's as I said, it's required obedience on our part. How we've had to be obedient. That was by receiving the word of prophecy that was spoken and the words that were spoken over our lives in that way. And for us to be able to proceed, well, we've had to pray ourselves about it, and also for many, many other people who've been believing, you know, many other believing people have made that effort and sacrifice and prayed for all this to come apart. So, as I said, for quite a few years now, from the time that the first seeds were sown, God has been at work. Amen. And particularly for us, for that time to come when we'll be able to be released from the church and venture out beyond the boundaries here at Grow Church. And just want to have us look at that other PowerPoint there too. And as it says there, Grow Outreach Ministry. Well, what it's all about? It's about following something that has been on our hearts for many years, following that through, taking that action and seeing it come to pass, seeing prophecy fulfilled in that way. But what we'll be doing is ministering to pastors and churches in Melbourne locations, country and isolated towns around Australia. Eventually, that will probably be a couple of years down the track by the time we get to all our local churches and regional Victoria. But God has shown us by vision the prophetic word that it's now time to put it into place, to put this into place. It's now's the time to go. And so we will be going out for 2 weeks. We'll be away two Sundays, and just to make sure I've got the dates right there. Here somewhere. 20. Okay, May the 15th and May the 22nd. Those 2 weeks away. Those 2 weeks we will be away, but we'll be moving out in 2 weeks' time, and that's the launching. And we're really excited about that, and we know that many of you folk are excited with this. You've shared your hearts with us and encouraged us in that way, and many, many other people also from other churches and places. And so we are excited about launching out and doing what God wants us to do. Okay, is there another part of that? Yeah. Okay, so what this entails is, as I said, Patricia and myself, we're going to be away ministering for extended periods of time. Grow Church is our base, amen, and will always be our spiritual home. And so we'll continue in our ministerial roles and duties here at church. Nothing changes there. We'll always do that. But all we're asking is that your hearts are with us. We want you to be a part of this ministry, because we're not only ambassadors for God, we're accountable to this church, because we go out in the name of Grow Outreach Ministry. So we are ambassadors for this church. We are representing you people. You are all a part of us. Amen? So that's really, we really appreciate and think that's a really wonderful thing, but all we ask is that, you know, that your hearts are with us, that as we go out, that you will faithfully commit yourselves to upholding us in prayer and pray for our safety and travel and all that sort of thing. But as I said, we're really looking forward to this, and you know, the seeds, there's fruit to be harvested. Amen. But take a little bit, a couple, few more moments of your time, and just to finish about that message this morning, you know, that God has laid on my heart about, you know, the effort demanded and what's required to that. But from the beginning of time, from day one, when time of creation, throughout the Word of God in the Old Testament and New Testament, the Lord has asked, and it says, what does the Lord require of us? It takes an action. Something has to be done. And as we know that in the beginning, God spoke to people and he asked them to do things. And what did he ask about Adam and Eve, or what was their requirement? It was, they said to them, don't eat from the tree of knowledge. That was the requirement. He spoke to Abraham and he said, Abraham, look up, count the stars. He says, you won't be able to count them. And he said, that's how you're going to be with the inheritance that I'm going to give to you. Your children will be so numerous, you won't be able to count them. And so, wonderful blessing. But God said to Abraham, look up, Abraham. Look up and see what you're going to receive. What did he say to Moses when Moses went up to the mount? What did he say to Moses? Take off. Shake off your shoes. Take off your sandals. This is holy ground. We need to be aware of that. And there, but do what God asks. What did he say to Joshua? Be strong and courageous. And again he says, be strong and very courageous. Three times he said it. And be strong and very courageous. That was the requirement for Joshua. And we see so many other instances where Jacob wrestled with God, you know, that sort of thing, you know, and he had to go through a lot of issues. But he was truly blessed, wasn't he? Almighty men of God. But so many times that God spoke to his people, and there the question, what does the Lord require of me? And even in Jesus' teachings and ministry, you know, we see many things taking place there. But an effort was demanded. The recipients who received were asked to do something. In Matthew, the disciples were asking Jesus about the taxes, how they were going to pay, how they were going to be paid for the short version of it. But what did he tell them? He said, go down the lake and catch a fish. In the fish's mouth you'll find a coin. Go and pay the taxes with that. So there was the disciples. They had to go and do something. Effort demanded. And also in Mark, where the man with the withered hand, what did Jesus ask him to do? Stretch out your hand. He had to do something to receive. In Luke, there the disciples were out fishing, catching a draught of fish. And what did Jesus say to them? They said, put down your nets on the other side and of the boat. It was through obedience and action. They acted on what the Lord said, fulfilling that requirement. In John, the wine for the wedding, what did Jesus say to do? Fill the jars. Fill the jars. Okay, and in last one, in John 9:7, the person there received, who was blind and received their eyesight back. What did Jesus do? Got a handful of dirt, spat in it, and made this solution, this compound, and put it on the eyes of that person. He said, now go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Go and wash. That was the requirement. You get what I'm saying? That, you know, when, if you want blessing, God wants us to do something. God wants us to act on, you know, by the power of the Spirit that is invested in him. And we know all these miracles that were performed, all these things that happened, you know, God was behind it. Jesus was investing that power that God had given him. And in return, even though he just wanted the people to do something, and that's a requirement of us. What does the Lord require of you? To have mercy, show justice, all those types of things. And as we seek, as we knock, it will be given, amen? It will be given. So I just encourage us as a church today to do all what the Lord requires of us, and you will be a blessed people. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just bless you and thank you, Lord God, for your mighty hand of blessing upon us. We thank you, Father God, Lord, as we just ask of you, as we inquire of you. Lord, your word tells us so strongly. Lord, ask of me. Ask of me. Ask of me. So, Lord, we ask of you for your mighty hand of protection, your mighty hand of blessing, your mighty hand of healing, your mighty hand of provision. Lord, all these things to be upon of each of these people, Lord. We just thank you so much, Lord. Lord, for what you've invested us. And we just ask and pray, Lord. Lord, that we might do what the scripture said, of whom much is given, much is required. So, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that we might, each one of us, give back to you, Lord, all that you've sown and invested in our life. Lord, by the power of your Spirit, Lord, we ask and pray that in Jesus' name.